All right, we're picking back up with our study of prayer tonight. We're on page 11 in our study guide. And so far we've looked at four different types of prayer. And we were talking, a few of us, a little bit before class tonight, and the person who was talking to me said, you know, I really never thought about the fact that there are types of prayers and that it matters the way that I pray about certain things. And that's so true. I think lots of times we can understand why our prayers get very little results when we just listen to some of the things that we say. And we know that whenever we pray and it isn't in line with the Word of God, which is the will of God, that He isn't bound, you know, or obligated to act on that. And we also know that what isn't of faith is sin, and that without faith it's impossible to please Him, and that when we pray, we're supposed to pray in faith. Jesus said it this way, when you pray, believe that you have the thing that you've asked for, and you will have it. So we're to believe when we're praying that it's already taken care of, and that's faith. So we've been looking at the different types of prayer, and last time we spent a pretty serious amount of time on binding, what's called the practice of binding and loosing. There's still a lot of things that I want to study about that, but I know that what we've said so far, I believe, is accurate. There's just more to it. I was thinking, for example, of when there was a woman who'd been bowed over or bowed over for many, many years, and I need to go back and read that, so don't quote me on this because I'm just talking right now, but it was said to her, this woman, ought not this woman, this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, be loosed from her infirmity. Okay, so there's a binding and a loosing. Lynn, if you can find that, let's see if that's in red up here, because I believe that's Jesus talking. So Jesus said, whom Satan bound, he used that word bound, and told us who was responsible for her condition. Ought not she be loosed? And he used the word loosed. And we understand from Matthew 18:18 that the things that are bound in our life of prayer, do you find it? Okay, that's fine. Just keep it going. I'll talk. That those things must already be bound in heaven. That's why saying, Satan, I bind you, is not an accurate thing to say. Because he isn't bound. He's defeated, but he's loose. At large, we saw when we studied last time. Roaming in the earth. And he's the prince of the powers of the air also. So I can't bind him if God hasn't bound him. I can't loose something if God hasn't loosed it. It's just like saying, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. However it is in heaven, that's what God wants in earth. Now, ought not this woman be loosed from her infirmity? And Lynn's found it for us. And where is that, Lynn? Luke 13:16. And this is that red in your Bible? Let me find it in mine. 13:16. I'll read it out of mine. Thank you for locating that for us. Yes. I want to go back to verse 10. And this is Jesus dealing with a spirit of infirmity, it says. Now, he was teaching, or that's what the, let me see if the Bible says that. That's what my little note says that's here. So I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I'll find out. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. This is Jesus who was teaching. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. There you go. It's named that. 18 years, and was bent over, and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Now there's an example of Jesus loosing somebody who is bound. So it isn't that we can't use the terminology, it's just that we use it inaccurately, and when we do, it doesn't work. Jesus didn't say, I bind you, Satan, did he? He said, woman, you're loosed. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, or opposition in other words, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Let's get legalistic about it. And bind the woman back up, Satan, because Jesus did this on the Sabbath, and we can't have that in religious circles, can we? So he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day. So this man obviously cared more about his routine and his religious tradition than he did about this woman who had just been straightened up after being bent over for 18 years. And what is the religious man worried about? The ruler of the synagogue says, you should have come on the right day. Not glory to God. I mean, think about that, y'all. How callous can we be? But I tell you that if he had been bound in that tradition, praying for it wouldn't have done any good. He wouldn't have gotten the Jesus results, because he was all bound himself, wasn't he? The Lord answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, now right there was the authority in which Jesus operated. You remember with me that even though Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are over in the, what's, you know, divided as the New Testament part of the Scriptures, that everything that Jesus did in his earthly walk before his death, burial, and resurrection had to be done under the total agreement of the Old Covenant, okay? The law. In other words, Jesus never violated the law. He fulfilled it by his death, burial, and resurrection. But he never violated it. So he is saying, this is a daughter of Abraham. She has covenant rights in God. Ought not she be loose? See, Jesus is simply loosing. Well, I say simply, but it is. He's loosing what's already loosed. Let's use the word allowing or permitting. He's permitting in earth God's will to be done, because that's already been permitted in heaven. Didn't God make vows to Abraham about his descendants? Yes, he did, and God keeps his word. So that's Jesus loosing or allowing this woman to be liberated from what Satan had done to her, from the situation that she was in. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound? Is there any question in our minds now about who had done this to this woman? Not at all, and there wasn't in Jesus either, and there was no doubt here. Think of it. For 18 years, should she not be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? Okay? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. Now, I just want to say this, and then we'll move on, because we've already really spent a lot of time on the binding and loosing. But look at the results Jesus got. It's so obvious that he demonstrated the will of God. And the people rejoiced, and the ones who had opposed him, who are called his adversaries here, were put to shame. So often, because of our lack of knowledge and lack of accurate, active and accurate operation of spiritual things, it works the other way. We don't get Jesus' results, and the word is put to shame because we've used it inaccurately, or God is discredited for something he didn't do, and the person remains bound in whatever Satan has done to them, and he ends up being the victor in that situation because he keeps them bound. And that's because we don't operate accurately in the Word of God. So let me say it this way, and this will take care of all of the different types of prayer that we're looking at. The Word of God is the foundation for our life of prayer. That is the bottom line of it. The Word of God is our foundation. And as long as we're ignorant of the Scriptures, then we will not pray with authority and accuracy and get Jesus' results. But as we learn and as we become more informed about our rights and God's word and God's will and God's timing and the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal those things to us as we pray, then we will begin to see more and more Jesus results. And that's what we want. We want God's will done in earth. And Jesus demonstrated his will everywhere he went. That's how we know what his will is. And then Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we know what God wants. We know what God will do by knowing what Jesus wanted and what Jesus has done. Okay? Now, the next prayer that we're going to look at is called the Prayer of Agreement. And that's based on a scripture in Matthew 18, 19 and 20. So let's look there. We looked at the scriptures just above this the last time that we were together. But let's go on down now to 18, 19 and 20. And Jesus said again, and this is Jesus talking, it's in red in my Bible. Again, I say to you that if two of you, how many is that? Me plus one, you plus one, or you plus me. If two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now that is a powerful promise, but Jesus said it. So I know it's the truth, but it can't work the way we thought it did, or we would have been getting more Jesus results. It's not as easy as circling up the wagons and everybody holding hands and saying, we agree. It's got to be heart agreement that he's talking about here. Two hearts totally locked in on the Word of God in faith, knowing that what the Word says is above any circumstance or situation or other person who might be in opposition. Two people, he says, have the ability, if they can agree on earth. So that means that works right here on the planet, doesn't it? Right here, right now. Two people agree on earth concerning anything that they ask. Anything. Now, we already know the qualification of that anything. It has to be according to the Word and the will of God. Because we determined way back in the beginning of this study guide, we know that when we pray according to the will of God, which we learn in the Word of God and from the Word of God, that He hears us. He hears His own will. He hears His own Word. And we know then that if He hears us, we have the thing we've asked for. So Jesus is trusting that we understand. We can't just agree on anything in the whole wide world. This is in the context of whatever is bound and loosed already. Whatever God has allowed, we can allow if we can agree together on that in earth. Whatever God has disallowed, we can disallow or bind if we can agree on that in earth. Well, one piece of that power is knowing what God has allowed and disallowed or permitted and not permitted. The other piece is really finding somebody who truly agrees in their heart with you. And that's why it's so important when someone asks you, you know, pray about this or pray for this, that you locate where they are. If I'm going to say, I agree with you, I'm making a commitment there. And I'm saying, what you're asking is by the Scriptures, and I can lock in my heart with that, with you. And if we can do that, and it's not as easy as holding hands. That's external. But that's what we do. Let's all join hands and agree. That ain't going to happen. Jesus limited it to two. And that's rarer than we'd like to admit. So for a whole group, you know, when in the day of Pentecost or on the day of Pentecost, they were all collected together and gathered together in the upper room, and they were all in one accord, that's a miracle. Because that means they were all harmonious in their hearts. That is a miracle. Well, what happened that day? The Holy Spirit arrived on the scene. That's how powerful that was. Okay? But Jesus said, if two of you can come together in your hearts and lock in on the word, the will of God, God will do it. Okay? And we understand they're standing when everything looks like it's not going that way. And if one of us wavers, then are we in agreement any longer? We're not. So we know what happens when we're double-spirited about things, don't we? We just studied that last time. James said, don't think you'll have what you ask for if that's the way you live, because it won't work. Either you believe it or you don't. And when we find that we don't, and we've all found that before, that I wasn't in faith or I would have gotten the results. Faith gets results 100% of the time, because that's faith in the integrity of God and the integrity of His Word and His ability and willingness to keep His Word. That can't lose. So if there's a short end of the stick, I know it's mine. So what must I do if I find myself in that situation? Well, I have to grow up. Then I have to get myself back in the Word and persuade my own thinking, my mind, that the Word of God is greater than anything in that mind of mine that's condemning me, okay, or any part of what I'm to accomplish in this earth. So it's a constant reprogramming. And we could say washing by the water of the Word, that's the same thing. Clean out that junk, you know, that's been put in us of doubt, unbelief, whatever, you know, unworthiness, lack of possibility, whatever it is that's hindering us. And we have to clean and clean and clean by the Holy Spirit and the Word until that's gone and we can just have a pure heart before God and believe and trust Him. And that is a lifelong process. So we're lifelong learners of the Word of God. But you know what? That means we're disciples. What an honor to disciple ourselves to the Master and learn to pray. So prayer of agreement requires at least two individuals. Can there be more? Yes. But two's all it takes. And you know, Jesus and me, that makes two. Right? So I can agree with Him right by myself. But there are those people that you really have, you know, a heart with, who you learn over a lifetime. Have you ever heard the term, that's my prayer partner? Well, that's a possibility. We can have those. But that comes from really getting to know a person on the inside intimately to you trust, and those barriers are down, and then you know they trust God with you. And that is a powerful place to live. And you know what? The perfect opportunity for that is in marriage. I know I've said this before. That's the way marriages ought to work. Because that, you know, we can agree spiritually. We can reproduce spiritual things together. We can get God results through our spirits being in harmony. We can reproduce in our soulish realm, our minds, our wills, our emotions are all fulfilled in marriage. And we can reproduce physically. Because God has given us the ability to make more of us. We can make babies. So spirit, soul, and body, all satisfied, and when we mature, able to reproduce within the context of marriage. That's the perfect place for agreement to work. It's just that most of the time it doesn't. Because we live together, we know each other's faults, and we have a hard time trusting. And that's a shame, isn't it? But that, I'm just being honest, y'all. I don't know too many husband and wife prayer partners because we let those other things cloud the true matters of the heart. But there is that possibility of having one that you can get in agreement with, and that's a powerful thing. The individuals must be in agreement on earth, and that holding hands is not necessarily a sign of agreement. It can be. That's just an outward expression of the heart, or it can be. But without the heart involved in it, it's like anything else. It's just externals, and that doesn't get us anywhere with God because He looks on the heart. Those hands are being held, but are those hearts really in agreement? If they're not, then the power isn't there. If they are, then Jesus said it is there to accomplish the things of God in earth. And then when praying the prayer of agreement, one should pray, and then the other must be able to agree with that prayer, okay? And that takes some discussion even before you go to the Lord in prayer. Lots of times we have to locate ourselves. Where can we agree in this matter? And then the sixth prayer that is mentioned in, now these aren't numbered in the scriptures. This is just a study guide. It's a guide to your own study of prayer. But this is the one that is in the sixth place here as we've looked at different types of prayer, is the prayer of praise, worship, and thanksgiving. That's another important type of prayer. When I don't want anything, I don't need anything, I just want to thank you. You know, I just want to minister to you, Lord, to worship you. Praise is what we do when we commend God for who He is and what He's done. I'm not asking for anything. I just want to tell you how much I love you, and here's why I love you. Here's who you are to me. Worship takes place when the spirit of man communes with the spirit of God. That's the heart-to-heart place. Recognizing the awesomeness and the power and the splendor of the one true God. That's worship. And Jesus said, they that worship me will worship in spirit and in truth, didn't he? Well, we know the spirit is the Holy Spirit out of our hearts, in, you know, in agreement with the Holy Spirit, and then the truth is the Word. We must know the Word. Thanksgiving is the giving of thanks to God for specific things. And we look that word up in the context of a scripture, and it said grateful language. Don't you love it whenever your children recognize that something that you've done, maybe they didn't even realize it when they were little, but that it's made a difference for them. And later on when they mature, they come back to you and they say, I know why you did that now. And I really appreciate it. Well, if we as parents have a satisfaction in that kind of grateful language from our children, you know our Father does. He likes to hear us be grateful. Then He understands that we've come to some maturity. We're beginning to get a perspective on things that's right. We have a lot to be thankful for. And it's all wrapped up in the Lord, because every good gift, everything that's good that comes our way, comes from one source, and that is the Father above, the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's not going to change on us. So we have all good things to give Him thanks for. Praise and thanksgiving can be offered through the intellect, because I can think about and list in my mind a lot of the things that I'm thankful for, my blessings. I can count them one by one. I can do that with my intellect. But true worship can only be accomplished through the Spirit. That's what Jesus said. The prayer of praise and worship and thanksgiving has not been sufficiently emphasized. Usually when we come together and think about praying, what do we ask for? Are there any prayer requests? Okay. And that's a legitimate type of prayer, to make petition to the Lord. But sometimes when we come together, we don't need to ask for anything. We just need to get before the Lord and be grateful. Nothing is asked for in the prayer of praise. Nothing. The prayer of praise and worship strengthens the relationship between God and man. That's just me talking, communing with my Father, or with Jesus, or with the Holy Spirit, to thank them. Because each of them, in his own way, has done so much for me. The prayer of praise and worship ministers to God. It serves God. The prayer of praise and worship can be compared to the offering of incense. We talked about that earlier. And then we should spend time privately worshiping God, remembering that privacy enhances intimacy. Let's look at Matthew 6:6. Think about that in the natural. When are we intimate with the one we love? It's not that you're not affectionate in public, but we don't expect to see intimacy in public. That's totally out of the range of what's appropriate. Okay? Intimacy is for private places. And in Matthew 6:6, Jesus said, let's back up to 5. And when you pray, and we're talking about our life of prayer, our lifestyle of prayer, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't ever pray in the assembly with one another, because we can. And that doesn't mean that you could never pray in the streets, because somebody might come along the street and need prayer. But that'd be between you and that person and God. This is talking about praying to be heard and praying to be seen of men. And Jesus said, that's why they do that they may be seen of men. And they do it standing in the synagogue, too, not just out in public, but this is church people, too, okay? These are the people in the synagogue. They stand and pray that they may be seen by men. Jesus said in Matthew 6:5, assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. Okay, their reward is they were seen of men. They were heard of men. But we know in order to get our prayers answered, we've got to be heard of God. Don't we? When you pray, Jesus said, you, when you pray. Now he's talking to his disciplined ones, okay? Those who follow him as their master. Go into your room. Now, King James original says closet, I think. And, you know, we've gotten a closet, a prayer closet religion out of that one. It doesn't have to be a closet. Okay? A room, a place, a set-aside place. Go into your room. That's private. And when you've shut your door, that's more private. Pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So this is not really talking about geography. Because you can take something and put it over your head and create yourself your own little tent with God. You can make your own secret place. You can have a secret place, you know, anywhere that you are. It's not about geography, but the thought here is the privacy of me and God, just heart to heart, where I can tell Him anything and everything. He knows it anyway, but I need Him to know that I'm willing to share it with Him. And nobody else needs to hear it. It's just the two of us. And if while I'm there, I need to pray for you, nobody needs to hear that either. So, see, a whole lot of the ammunition that we give the enemy comes through the pretense of prayer. Well, I'm just sharing this for prayer purposes, but did you know about Sister So-and-so? Well, see, I already know that's not your intent. Because if it was for prayer purposes, you'd be talking to God about it, not me. I can't fix her anyway. But you sure can gossip about her and call it prayer purposes. And then Jesus went on to say, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you need or have need of before you ask Him. Prayer doesn't change God. He is God. He changes not. Prayer changes me. It lines my talking up with the Word of God, and it lines my believing up with the thinking of God, and it lines my actions up with the will of God. That's what prayer does. Privacy enhances intimacy. Get in the secret place. That's your secret place. That's not a place, although it can be. There's a place in the house where I like to go. And then there's a little place down in the bottom of the yard that's my little house. I love to go down there. But there's a place in the house where I like to go. And I know the children saw me there a lot. You know, so there's a secret place, but it doesn't have to be, you know, a set place is what I'm saying. You carry your real secret place is your heart. Wherever you can get alone and open up your heart with Jesus, that's your secret place, okay? it's nice to have a set apart spot, if you can, where you just meet with Jesus and your Father when you can. But you can't always be there, can you? So carry Him in your heart and find your own secret place. The point of all that was that privacy enhances intimacy. Now, how is it that we're to produce fruit? Let's think about things like love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. All of that is called fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? And how is that fruit produced? Well, Jesus is the vine, but we are the branches. And fruit is produced on branches, not vines. So He produces that fruit through us because He's the source of it. That's His character being reproduced in us by our union with the Holy Spirit. So intimacy produces fruit. And the more time I spend in secret with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, with my Father, they're all together, the more fruit I can produce. I didn't realize it was this time. Well, shall we come back to this in just a little while then? Got about 3 minutes? Okay, well, let me keep going. Thank you for that. So intimacy is imperative to reproduction, spiritual reproduction. That's what I'm trying to say. We have to get alone with the Lord to reproduce spiritually. And that's the way we do. When we mature, then we're capable of reproducing spiritually. Okay? The next thing that we'll look at is the prayer of intercession. And our study guide begins by saying the prayer of intercession is a very important type of prayer, because intercession means that we're willing to stand in the gap for somebody else. So when we come back after break, we'll go into Luke 11, verses 5 through 13, and we'll see what we can learn about the prayer of intercession. You know, God looks for intercessors. He mentions that in the scriptures several times. You know who the intercessor for Israel, the nation of Israel, was? Moses. He had a heart like Jesus for the people, didn't he? Willing to lay his own life down. And who's our intercessor now as New Covenant believers? Jesus is our intercessor. And it says He ever lives to make intercession for us. Isn't that beautiful? We'll come back and study that after break.